Okay. All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Culkin. We're in the 12th floor of the Capitol today for the administrative portion of our regular scheduled meeting. It is Thursday, July 10th, approximately 1:50. We have four items on consent. I would move passage of the items on consent.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion is approved.
Thank you, Daryl. All righty then. Discussion matters with the commission. Hess-Hawkeye Pipeline Project, the names continue to be very colorful. The jurisdictional determination, Alana and Patrick, you've got a memo you put in here that we've had a hopefully chance to review. I read through it, but I'll, I don't know, Pat or Alana, whichever one of you wants to take the lead, and we'll go from there.
Well, I hope you've all had a chance to look at it, and I'll summarize it really quickly. There are three pipelines in question, and they cross the lake. The portions that are crossing the lake are existing, and so they're connecting on each end of those. And one of the pipelines is for gas, natural gas, one's for crude oil, one's for natural gas liquids. The determination that staff has made here, or recommending here, is that the natural gas pipeline is not subject to jurisdiction because the gas in the line is going on to the Tioga gas plant where it's going to be further processed. The crude oil line, we recommend that is subject to jurisdiction, and as well as the natural gas liquids pipeline. And so if you have any questions about, I guess, why we made those determinations, then we would discuss that. Otherwise, legal would prepare a response to the company with the determination.
The question that I would have, Pat and Alana, is it appeared to me that it was pretty straightforward, the determination, and why did they even ask us? Is there something that we're missing? Because I thought it was a pretty clear case when you walked through of what would be jurisdictional, what wouldn't be. Why do you think the company even asked?
They came in and talked to staff even before they asked us for this jurisdictional determination. And they're
all, is there a question, though?
The question's about the natural gas liquids line. And is it a crude oil line, or is it a gas line, or is it something different? And we determined that it was not a natural gas line and not a crude oil line for sure. And those are the two terms where you'll find a definition of gathering.
It being, sure.
An exception for gathering,
yep,
versus transmission. And okay. It doesn't appear to us that there's any exception for natural gas liquids gathering, and I'm not even sure there is such a thing because, you know, natural gas liquids come out. You have to separate that from the residue gas, which would be the gas that goes on for processing,
right,
for end-use customers.
You don't gather them from a producing well.
Right. It comes.
Alliance line is a gathering line.
Raw gas includes all this stuff. And then you come to some processing point and you split out the natural gas liquids.
So they just wanted to solidify something on record that it wouldn't be jurisdictional is probably the why.
Right. They're going to want your blessing on what they're doing to not apply for the ones where they're jurisdictional, and then want the answer on the other one.
Okay.
I appreciate that they came because I think it's always better to talk in advance rather than have a company just plow ahead and then come back afterwards and wonder if they did the right thing. So I think it's really important in this environment that these companies do this very thing, that we can work through it together and come to a decision. So I appreciate that they did.
Andy, any thoughts?
I just agree with that okay. You know, it's a better safe than sorry scenario.
All right.
And more of these companies need to take that step if there's any doubt in their minds, or if they're not haven't worked in North Dakota before or something like that, and make sure that it's done correctly. And so I think this company should be commended for asking the question.
All
One quick question, or two maybe quick questions. The natural gas liquids line that's being converted, so that's an 8-inch pipeline converted to transport natural gas liquids. What is it being used for now?
Let's see if I have that.
And is that the line that goes under the lake?
All three lines go under the lake.
Well, the other lines, it looked like there were new things being constructed outside of the lake.
Well,
as well.
If you think of the lake as a strip, and the three lines going underneath the lake, may be used for something different today, but there are three lines mm-hmm. there, and they're connecting pieces of pipeline at the bottom of each, the bottom side, the below the lake, and the top side above the lake. They're adding on pipeline each end.
Right. Even in that, the last one?
Let's see. Check that. Oh, there is one that is not. Let's see. There's one that is an existing line all the way. That is, it's being converted. This is the one that, being converted from gas to, from high pressure gas to natural gas liquids line.
And that, okay. Can you just describe that to me a little bit? Because I'm not sure I understand what their plans are for that line. So they're not building more on that line. They're just converting it.
That's the information I have. Yeah.
Okay. And so, because it's jurisdictional, what will our involvement be?
Siting,
but it already exists, right?
Correct.
And it exists under the lake as well.
Correct.
Okay. So what will we ask them for?
It'll be just like a regular siting case. We've had several now that we're siting existing lines,
yeah.
And be like that.
Okay.
I think that's a great point. I think the larger question is that there's a lot of lines out there that are gathering right now, and they were built to be gathering lines. But as companies pressurize and tanks, we're going to see more of these. So maybe as we go through and set up for the hearing, have them get on the record early the questions that we're going to ask of verifying. Have already verified the depth the pipeline is installed at. Have them already verified all those things that can't be verified if they haven't done it ahead of time, pig it or do some borings or things like that as prep to the hearings. Otherwise, we'll have a whole bunch of late-filed exhibits. I mean, if I can read into your question.
Well, yeah, I do sort of wonder if we're thinking about all the right things when we're
Absolutely.
Doing the siting of something that already exists because it's being converted. This strikes me as something that's relatively new, or it's being done more frequently now. And do we need to rethink that process and what we ask for? Because it isn't the same as siting something that is being built from scratch.
It isn't the same, but I understand you ask for all the same things. You still do your surveys and all of that.
Sure, but the difference.
Right, but is there more we should be asking for?
Okay.
I mean, is it more and different? You know, just the same. We just need to think about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe we can have a work session on it sometime.
Yeah. I think we should because I'm
and, no,
the,
I agree,
and the trigger points.
It just when we have a hearing and they say they're going to bury it at 48 inches, we can verify that. But when it's already been built and they say it's been built at whatever depth, to have that verification at the hearing, not just we built it that way 3 years ago, it may have changed, it may have been built different. So some of those little touch points of key things that can't be verified. Well, they can be verified, but they'd have to be before the hearing if they want us to render decisions. Otherwise, it'll be a bunch of late-filed exhibits.
Sure. So you're not going to have a construction inspection.
Yeah, absolutely. So walk through again how we'll tie this up then. So we'll send a letter back saying this is not jurisdictional, and who would sign that?
Well, two of these lines would be jurisdictional, one
right.
wouldn't.
Okay, so who's going to send the letter back saying the commission has deemed these are not jurisdictional? Who's that letter come from?
General counsel?
Comes from council
traditionally, yeah.
But it says this was discussed at the meeting, and I got the direction to respond.
Okay, so we don't have to vote on that. You'll staff something around on that.
Yes, and I had it, but I obviously forgot to distribute it. We did make the letter up, and I meant to get that out to you. I could have it this afternoon. Okay. So you could see both the memo and the letter, but I just forgot that part.
Okay, so I just recommend that if Ilana gets that out and if we have any substantive changes, we could talk about it again. But other if it's just happy to glad, you can send that out.
Pretty much the memo with a address at the top and a signature at the bottom.
And then, Pat, do you have, for the other two, will that be a consolidated hearing or will that be two separate hearings?
You can...
Either way.
Do they have similar issues?
They're two separate lines.
I think they would have similar issues, yes.
Well, I would suspect they want to move this stuff along, so do we need to have a special meeting to notice these things now, or have you had that discussion?
They haven't applied yet.
Yeah, we don't have the application.
Oh, sure, of course.
They're two separate lines.
They're two separate lines. They're two separate apps, which you may want to hear together, but... It might be wise to have that discussion of what more do we want them to file in the application fairly soon so that if they want to file soon.
I'll put that down on scheduling.
Yeah.
Yes. If they want to file their app soon to get the process going, then they know what you need.
Okay.
And if I could just add, as tough as our scheduling process sometimes get, I don't want to forget to bring this up later. If we're going to have a work session on this, besides just this particular case, I think we need to learn from how this is changing. It seems like a year and a half ago when I came on this commission, it wasn't very long and we had one of these cases where someone had changed something from gathering to transmission. At the time, at least, I got the impression it was sort of a novel new thing. Gosh, here we have, this was once one thing and now it's another. And in a year and a half, it's becoming almost routine. And I don't like the idea of imposing unnecessary burdens on industry if they put something in and later on they find a different use for it. We want to do the necessary steps, but not just be a burden to them. However, we also need to very carefully evaluate what we're asking of someone that's making a transfer from one type of line to another compared to what we would do if they were going in originally, because we don't want to build an incentive here to just lay in a gathering line and then as soon as it's in come back and say, I guess we're changing it to a transmission line. And so now there's lesser of a siting process. So I don't know exactly how we walk that line of not being overly burdensome, but yet not giving a special incentive to bypass the normal process here. And so we're going to have to look very carefully at whether when we go through and look at these cases, the ones that are in hindsight, we're making sure that they didn't do something that we wouldn't have allowed otherwise. And then the ones that are still going to be built, we make sure that they don't do those things, that it's not a better way to do it the wrong way than the right way, and just really evaluate that carefully.
Yeah, I really agree, and I think this work session is important because the triggers, and we should talk about what the triggers are for gathering and transmission. It's something that I've been thinking about, talking to Pat a lot about. I've talked to Lynn Helms about it. Again, we don't want to create more burdens and slow down the process of getting pipelines in the ground. At the same time, we need to be thoughtful about what are the reasons for siting, what's the purpose of it, and where does public safety play, fit in the whole deal, and at what point are we triggering the proper mechanisms to protect public safety and the cultural and environmental resources. So I think we got to get that conversation going.
Okay, we'll put her down for schedule today. Perfect. So we'll just send one letter back then. What did your letter say? Was it saying we believe this one is not jurisdictional, these are, and then leave it up to them to file?
Yes, it says pretty much exactly the memo, except the beginning says the commission talked about it and told me to write this.
And then it'll be on them to file their application, and we'll just know it's coming.
Yeah.
And then we'll deal with it when
it comes.
And
I'll get it here shortly, too.
Okay.
Do we know how long that natural gas pipeline is, the one that's going from south of the lake to the Tioga gas plant that is not jurisdictional?
Let's see. You can add these numbers up. 57,013, that'd be 70, 124,000 feet, which would be
20 miles.
Four.
Okay.
25 stuck in my head for some reason. Okay. All righty then. So, Julie, you want to talk about the reliability conference we had down September 10th at one point in time?
Yep. And I just... We're getting closer and closer to September 10th, and I keep losing track of where we are with this and who's doing what. And so I just wanted to throw it out there. I apologize if everybody else is tracking this, and I just don't have it written down. But I know we've confirmed, have we sent, I think we need to send letters to our speakers and confirm their participation and the time and the location and all of those things. Have you, I'm looking at you, Jerry.
I see that. I haven't done anything.
Okay.
And I was thinking that Stacy was doing
this. Did we at the last time ask Stacy to do this? Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. That's why I added this to the admin agenda. Okay, so we need to get Stacy engaged in securing the location and getting the letters going, and we were going to connect with NERC. And I don't remember if I volunteered or if Randy was going to do that.
Didn't.
You didn't, and nor did I. So, okay.
I talked to Scott Handy and have Cass County Electric Reserve for September 10th.
Well, beyond what we said kind of casually in that meeting, okay. So we do have that.
We do have that.
Okay. So we have a location. Okay. We need letters to speakers. We need to sit down and have set the agenda. Did we set up a time to plan this? Is there a date set to for us to talk about this?
No, we were talking Bismarck and Fargo. We said, let's just do one in Fargo. And then we talked about using Cass County Electric. You were going to talk with Tony Clark to see if we could get him to come in.
He's on board, but we have,
in. And then the lot was just general discussion. So,
yeah.
What we should do is add that to scheduling too.
Yeah.
Let's just do that since we have so much time on the schedule, right? Okay, perfect. Don't poke us. How about you guys do that in advance of the work session, Jer?
In the advance of what we schedule to. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Stacy's back next week and she might remember everything.
Yep.
Maybe some of this is done.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe okay. We did make that
call. She's pretty thorough.
She is. I just don't remember making that assignment or completing that conversation. I don't think we did. Maybe we did, though. Maybe we were better than we thought.
Okay, anything else on that for now?
That's it.
All right. Meeting with BNSF and the grain people. Julie, you want to talk about that?
Well, and especially in light of Randy going to meet with these folks tomorrow, We had a survey go out to these people, and also STB is having their weekly reports. I don't know if you guys are following those weekly reports and catching up on what's going on, but I have copies of the last – there's been two of them. I have copies of those that I'd be happy to share. It shows, you know, where orders are and how far behind they are and stuff, and they're making some progress, but quite honestly – not nearly enough to get this taken care of by the time the next harvest starts. We got results from our shippers, and this survey we sent out with SurveyMonkey, and I'll hand it out to you guys. I wanted to get this out once now. I know you want to do one before the actual meeting, Randy, and I think that'll be even better. Every time you do a survey, you find something that you don't ask correctly, and I think we can make improvements on this to get better data before that August meeting. So, but this is what the results are from what we heard in terms of where things are. So the main takeaway is 50% of BNSF responders. We had 62 people respond out of the 233 that we sent out, and 17 of them were undeliverable. So about 215, and we got 62 responses. So just about a 30% response rate. 50% of BNSF responders have received 60% or less of their grain car placements. So, and 92% of Canadian Pacific have received 60% or less. So CP is doing terrible. They're just really behind. You can see that how late they are. They're 24 of them are 4-plus late, weeks late. 27 are 1 to 4 weeks late. Past due, you can see where things are with the past due customers. This is the one that concerns me the most, is the bullet where when asked, please rank your confidence in the shipment for 2014. Almost a vast majority of them have little to no confidence, and some have no confidence at all in what they're going to have for service moving into the next year. If you want to look at the actual responses that people wrote in, it gives you some of the specific concerns that people have in terms of what's happening out there and what they're worried about moving forward. I won't go through all of that. But I think that based on this initial survey and what we're seeing that the railroads are reporting to Surface Transportation Board, I think we need to get pretty serious even before our meeting with the railroads, at least get some of the wheels in motion to file some sort of a complaint with STB on behalf of the producers. Just find out who we could hire to help us do that, and because I don't know how much data we need to show that they're not doing the job, and it's going to be a big problem if they don't start providing more service moving into harvest this year, and I just can't imagine how it's all going to work if they don't get rolling. So.
No, fair enough. Well, thank you for doing all the work on this. I was just trying to think here of there is due process in place, and so this is a good data set. But you do one more survey on it, and then they come in on August 7th, I think it is, and say their piece. And then I think, you got to be.
You know what else? Another key piece. They're not coming on August 7th. Well, BNSF is too busy.
Well, we have issued.
They've basically said, could they show up early and just give us a report 101?
Well, I guess my intent is we've noticed a hearing, and we'll have it. Whether they're not here, then we'll take that as a. But I have, for me personally, no desire to change what we've scheduled. Right. If we start it and they don't show here, then we'll take something from that. But we've said it for them. It wasn't a. Will you come, please? It was you are directed to come.
They have people in Bismarck here. They have a. And a government relations person, and they can come if they want to.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in saying that, they can come if they want to. It's fine with me. I mean, if they want to come, they will be here, and they had better be here.
Yeah.
I appreciate your thought.
Well, I think it just shows, my opinion, their response to Daryl in our request to them to show up suggests to me that they aren't taking our action seriously, and we need to, again, prepare to take more action.
Fair enough, but we'll so if you, the do out. You can do one more survey. You said before the meeting.
Yep, we can change it however we want. I mean, Randy, to the copy of the list of the questions. Yeah. Some of it aren't relevant anymore because some of it was based on fertilizer and that.
What do we need to do to trigger the going to use the dollars for the rail rate fund? Anybody educate me on that? The $900,000. Is there any trigger that we have to do to access that money? I'm looking at general counsel or anyone else that can think of that.
My recollection is there is no like you meant have an elevator wish to file. I don't think there's a trigger like that, but I'd have to double check.
That to me is still we would represent someone to the Surface Transportation Board, and so of these people that answered this survey, someone has to step forward and say, on behalf of the grain growers or on behalf of the Finley Farmers Elevator or somebody, we have to represent.
And that was the way it used to be. I do not think that's still in there, but okay. I have to double check it. You would be representing the public state of North Dakota mm-hmm. Public Service Commission.
Okay.
But I would have to, that's subject to check.
Okay. I did talk to John Mielke about this some yesterday. We were discussing some other things and we talked about this, and he indicated in that conversation that we can engage in any number of ways, and the law says not that we may, but we shall do this, and that file a complaint, just file comments, or just engage with STB. I don't think it has to be any big formal, structured, legal, specifically spelled out way. I think we just need to do that and show the railroads that we're serious. But I do think getting a legal, somebody with expertise in this area, if you don't feel comfortable doing it, Alana, that would be a good step, and they can help guide us in what specific action might have the most impact.
Some time ago, we offered to produce the initial proposal for that, and that's taken a backseat to a lot of these other projects that mm-hmm. we're working on, but we certainly can go back to that.
Well, I think, to be pragmatic, we know that August 7th we have our hearing set. You continue to do what you were doing before. August 7th, if nobody shows up, that'll be clear signals to the three of us, I think we will do. If they decide they want to come in and do what they should do, then we'll see where that goes to. But I think this kind of gives us some time to play out.
We might want to address this again in the next meeting in,
absolutely.
What, 2 weeks? Or
yeah.
Be just less than 2 weeks since we're on a Thursday this week. But
okay.
You'll hear a lot from folks in the next couple of days at that meeting, so you'll have some good insights from that.
Yep.
Okay, Esther, can you just carry this over then for the next meeting agenda? Okay.
Basically the federal delegation kind of bought off on, and this wasn't so much CP, this was more of a BN response, that they were going to have this taken care of by late July or the end of July, I can't remember the exact date. And so anything ahead of that, the railroads have kind of a tendency to just shrug things off. And so certainly this is an easy one for them to shrug off because they've made a commitment and we're not there yet, so we're still working on it. But as we get closer to that end of July instead of the early part of July, I think time will have told a lot there, too.
2 weeks ago, their past due cars in North Dakota was 4,942, and then the next week is 4,696. So if they're only making up that much headway per week, there's no way they'll be done by the end of July. I mean, there's no possible way. And what concerns me about that timeline is then there's hardly any time to trigger action before harvest. It's so they conveniently set it so it's going to be so late that anything we do doesn't impact their, ability to get it done before harvest. It's almost harvest will be on us. So anyway, it's frustrating.
To say the least.
And CP is they're really bad.
Commissioner, just a question. As Commissioner Fedorchuk alluded to, I did receive a response from Burlington Northern Santa Fe about a meeting with a John Miller on July 30th or 31st individually. I'm assuming I should respond saying no to that and that we'll continue with the meeting on August 7th.
Well, if he wants to talk individually in loop, I don't mind talking to anybody, but that does not negate the discussion August 7th. For me personally, if you want,
that's
to
what they're suggesting. In lieu of,
I just wanted to
know. Okay, I understand.
On August 7th, he wants to do this.
Okay. If he wants to come in addition, that'd be fine with me.
Okay.
the door is open to that, but I think I'm hearing, and I certainly agree with it, we're going to have a public meeting on August 7th, and expect them to be there.
All right. Julie, you want to talk about more things, the budget items?
I just wanted to look at when our next budget meeting was and maybe set up try to set up. So this probably could go down to
scheduling.
Scheduling.
Okay. I had down staff discussions as something I had added, and that might be tied into the same discussion you're thinking. Okay, let's see here. Austin, did you have that letter handy? This is just kind of a quick add-on. I asked to withdraw the Tom's backhoe, and the reason I did was when we got more into the detailed discussion about beefing up the record a little bit, the stuff that I knew about what one call could provide really didn't have that in the record, if you will. And so Alana and Austin and I and Julie Prescott met. They mostly met, and I kind of listened. thought might be a good idea to send this letter to one call and basically come back and see what they could provide in training. I kind of know anecdotally what they have, but this is the letter to Mr. Smoltz, and they could come back and say, here's what we offer, and then we could make our determination on the Tom's backhoe with this as part of the record. Did I explain that right, Austin?
Yes.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I think
you're not a good attorney. You got to add more because you're getting paid an hourly rate. Right?
I'm just going to let the client talk.
Oh.
Not a media enforcer behind you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Because you shine every day, correct?
Correct.
All right, good. So do you want to maybe highlight a couple parts of the letter, to Austin, that you wanted to for my colleagues?
Looks like a good letter to me.
I think the biggest thing was that we made sure to include the Century Code where we would be acting underneath, because that where he would have to respond, and then we'd have to make it known that his response would be provided to Ryan Norrell and Tom Thompson, anybody else involved in the matter. So it's not just something that he's providing to us that only we would see. It's something that's going to be made public and be part of the public record for this situation.
Okay. I thought it was a good idea, because I think the idea of having them go do some training is great. But the whole was we didn't have this in the record. So unless Andy or Julie has something that...
I like the idea.
I would be confused by this if I was Tom's backhoe. But when you receive this letter and... So maybe somebody... Can we call them too, or is that not appropriate? Just explain what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, he'd get a copy of this. The copies don't show on here. Tom would get a copy.
Right.
Ryan would get a copy. We can call Tom's ahead and say, you're getting this letter, a copy of this letter. This is why.
Yeah, it's just the legal paragraph there about adding to the record and all the procedures to follow. I just think that's where he would be like, well, what's this? Because it just seems straightforward otherwise.
Okay, but this letter is written to one call to tell them there are procedures we have to jump through if we want to use your letter. When we get it back from you, and you might be called to the witness stand. Tom would get, if we put it in the record, Tom and Ryan will get a real notice that says, hi, here, we're putting this letter in the record. You each have an opportunity to respond, to file your own stuff, to ask for a hearing. The parties get a follow-up. And it's exactly the same process that we would use if Tom ever answered the question about how many employees, if you want that in the record. That was a question asked by someone else, I think. That would have to go through those same hoops.
Tell me why this piece needs to be added to the record.
The commission would make a determination of whether they want to avail themselves, I think is the statutory language, of information that's not currently in the record when you see the information.
It really comes down to, I know what's available from one call for training, but nowhere is that in the record what's available for one call.
You might want it in the record.
So it's just
There's
no way to get it in without something formal.
Yeah.
That legal paragraph, which could
be...
We can't use something we know exists.
No. It's not unless it's a case, like you take official notice of a decision
right.
in some case or something like that, or an ordinance of Bismarck.
And once we get this in the record, on this case, we can take official notice going forward for other cases.
Yes.
And that's why this is like the first time we've potentially done this. That was where, trust me, I tried to figure out a way around this in the work session, but we had.
Okay.
Okay. All righty then.
I do have one other quick little thing, too.
Okay. Why not, Dre?
If we're done with that one.
Thank you, Austin. So you'll do what you do, and Randy, that okay with you?
Yep.
All right. Can you get it down to one page somehow, too?
We will.
Even if you got to
work on it.
Break the rules on spacing, just one page.
Maybe we'll take words out.
Whatever.
That's always better.
Okay, Julie, one more.
Have you guys heard of the QER, Quadrennial Energy Review?
Always. Been part of it for decades. I have, actually. The military does it all the time.
I thought it was something that the president just started in January.
No, it's been around. A quadrennial defense review, quadrennial energy review, quadrennial everything, BRAC review.
Okay. Well, they're coming here, they being the federal government, the energy department. They're coming to Bismarck on the 8th of August to talk about infrastructure constraints. So I tried to find out more information in terms of an agenda and all of this, but it strikes me as something that probably will involve things that we're involved in.
Yes.
Well, who's the Federal Energy Department? Is that FERC or who?
Energy. No, the Department DOE. Of Energy, DOE.
DOE does that in... They might be looking at the bases, the coal plants. They've got critical infrastructure they lay out there in their whatever they consider.
Yeah, and it might be.
Coal plants would be in mind.
It might be generation. It could be rail. I mean, who knows? What, pipelines? It could be any number.
The federal government is looking to investigate energy system constraints. Don't they just have to look in the mirror? They are the biggest constraint there is.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
It has a lot of climate action associated with this. I just think, yeah, we should try to get to the bottom of what they're doing and when and where and what. And they take comments, and all these comments are public. And just wanted to throw it out there, see if any staff, have you guys heard about it or been involved in anything like this in the past?
It's just that you said, though, Julie, so we just got to find out where they're... A good catch on that, but maybe Daryl wants to volunteer and run that to ground.
I'll check it out.
Here's what I have so far, Daryl, and I'm not even sure the second... This first page is the thing on Bismarck, but I'm not sure the second piece
I'll
is
follow up on that.
Applicable. All right, that's it.
And then, no, that's good. If
that's on the 8th?
8th, yeah.
We've already got a bunch of meetings that day with Excel, but if it's in the afternoon, we might be able to get one of us or three of us over there.
Mm-hmm. And there is opportunity, I think, to provide comments outside of the actual date, but figuring out what they're talking about would be helpful.
All right. Okay, anything else for discussion today? Let's go to scheduling then. Mr. Lehan, did we get our answers back from the company on what they were recommending? That's what you want, a workshop or just work session?
Yeah, we have
okay. And we just approved today the final letters of credit for coal. So we have another tool in our tool check there. Would you like to do it, Mr. Lehan?
I guess it's up to you guys.
Okay, so I'm guessing next week is shot. Yep. In the morning, I have open. Randy and Julie would have.
Yep. I'm open that day, too.
Randy?
In the morning.
Perfect. So, like, 9 o'clock?
This is July.
July 22nd at 9. Does that work, Randy, Julie?
Mm-hmm.
How about that, Jerry?
I think that's good.
Okay. That was easy. All right. What I'd like to do, I had the Tom's backhoe thing, but I think let's just wait till the letter comes back and we can, maybe even Austin and I could put together a draft and just maybe not even have a work session. We'll see. Daryl, you wanted to do a July director's meeting?
That'd be in August. I'm sorry. July is already scheduled, but I thought we'd want to look at August. So.
Good call. Okay. Well. How about like the 18th? That seems to be an open day again. Don't know why. It's a Monday. Do you get Randy and Julie, you guys have any?
I'm just trying what's on the 19th here.
The 19th, I have a EPA. We got the three different companies coming to talk about the CO2 rules. 9 to 12.
Is the afternoon of the 18th work?
I'm open that whole day, actually.
Yeah, I am too.
So that's good?
Yeah.
You like the afternoon better, Randy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about 1:30 on the 18th then? Daryl, that work for you?
That works.
Okay. Then I have down the...
Reliability?
Say again?
Reliability conference?
Yep, reliability. We should talk about that sooner than
Let's
later.
Let's go back to the after that 9 a.m. meeting on work
22nd.
Session. Yeah, could we do that?
Sure, if that's okay with you, Randy. So it'd be 10 a.m. on July 22nd for the September 10th reliability discussion.
Yep.
So that's good for you, said mm-hmm. Julie. Okay.
Sharon, the Hess Hawkeye pipeline, you want to do a work session on that too? You'd move that down to scheduling.
No, I was incorrect. They're going to send the letter back, and once they file their application, then we'll deal with that at that time.
No,
that's there's no need to schedule anything there.
I thought you wanted to have a work session early on to discuss the what you're looking
yeah.
for.
Well, I have that down as a different one.
So. Oh,
yeah, well, that's what I the okay. name confused me.
Well, I guess what I'd well, it doesn't matter what we call it. Let's schedule that because we definitely want to have a work session on. Is it better to call it that name, or is it just the general discussion?
I would call it a general discussion.
Yeah.
It might be that we like dock yeah. something in that case, but
okay. Well, let's yeah. That's I just prefer to keep it more generic so it's not like we're because mm-hmm. we've already made a decision
yes.
on that and let's
siting related to already
siting
built lines
existing or converting
yeah.
Yeah, there
existing
we go.
Lines. Could even not a conversion. It could be
okay.
something related to a.
What about the
21st?
We had 1:30 to 2:30 scheduled for.
Doesn't have to be.
Yeah, citing existing or converting. I think we should call it both.
What date did you say?
Alana, we can talk about the line. Not now, then. Sorry.
Okay.
Now I'm completely lost. Let's clarify what we've done. So we have the July 22nd, 9 a.m., we're going to talk about the work session for wind decommissioning.
Yes.
Okay. At 10 a.m., we're going to have the discussion on the September 10th reliability.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're picking the discussion. What are we doing again at 1:30?
August 18th.
August
Tom's
18th.
Back
Tom's back. No.
No, that's the,
July director's meeting.
Oh, sorry.
July director's meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to have a work session on conversion of gathering to transmission lines. And so, sooner than later, how about the 23rd of July? For some reason I have nothing on that day either.
I'm free.
Could we go at maybe once again 9 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe like 2 hours down for that?
Well, then maybe the budget/staff discussion could be that morning as well. Maybe do that first and then do the...
Yeah, that's fine. So you want to... Okay, so you'd say you'd recommend starting at 9 o'clock and talk about budget/staff stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, and then at 10 o'clock till 12 would be the work session on converting.
Yeah.
Converting, gathering to transmission lines? Okay.
Exciting.
That is all that I had down. Do you guys have anything that I've missed?
I do not.
Julie, do you have anything?
Nope.
Esther, you have missed any? Mm-hmm. Okay, then maybe I would just ask Randy and Julie a quick question. Did the two of you have time at either 3 o'clock, 3:30, or 4 to have just a quick discussion on the three of us about just some other staff issues that I wanted to deal with outside of the budget issues?
Sure.
Any of those times work for me.
Whatever works. The earlier is better for me, but I'm free all day, too.
Since
we've been sequestered here all day.
I have something at 4:15.
Should we do 3?
Sure.
Okay, so that 3 o'clock, all we need is just, Esther, if you could notice, 3 o'clock, just a staff discussion for the three commissioners. Okay. We don't really need anybody for it. We just haven't had a chance to visit for a while. Okay. Holy moly. Going on the table one more time. Vic, do you have anything we missed?
Not today.
All right. Good. Going once, going twice. All right. Thank you all. We'll close the administrative portion of our meeting.